It's that time again, Our Town Live, where friends, family, people you know, and others you'd rather not know share with us their unique bits of wisdom. And now, here's Herb, your host, for another show.
Dr. James Connolly, owner of Results Rehab Concierge Physical Therapy, focuses on delivering personalized, one-on-one care for the active adult athlete. Based in Roswell, Georgia, offering in-home services, the mission of Dr. James is to empower active adults to move freely, without fear of injury, to do the activities that they love. He uses physical therapy as a tool to give clients their lives back, while empowering them with the knowledge and skills to prevent future injuries. As a lifelong physical therapy patient himself, James can personally attest to the power of this profession. After suffering a stroke at 8 months old and having corrective surgeries with subsequent rehab, he has found PT to be his calling and cannot imagine being in any other job. Without further ado, here is Dr. James.
I'm a doctor of physical therapy, so I've had 4 years of undergraduate plus 3 years of a doctorate degree in physical therapy, and they changed it to a doctorate back in the early 2000s, actually, to give us direct access in Georgia. So that means what used to happen is you'd have to go to a medical doctor to get a prescription for physical therapy. But for ease of service, you can now come straight to me and we can evaluate you and say whether it's purely musculoskeletal injury and I can treat you, or if needed, I can refer you back to the medical doctor for further testing. But it's just a better streamlined way of delivering care.
What is the difference between occupational therapy, physical therapy, and vocational therapy?
Occupational therapy tends to be more upper extremity. You're dealing with fine motor controlled movements. You know, you think about with writing or feeding is a bunch of occupational therapy. Physical therapy is more gross motor tasks. You know, you're running, your sports injuries, low back injuries. We specialize in those in particular. And vocational is specific to work functions like workman's comp is a specific role for vocational therapy. And physical therapists can do that, but physical therapists tend to specialize more in sports injuries and gross motor functions.
So you would be called more a vocational therapist?
I'm more of a physical therapist specifically.
Okay. We met because I have been diagnosed with Parkinson's. With somebody that has Parkinson's, who should they see first before we even talk to somebody like you?
So there's always a, you know, like you said, a funnel of people you go through and you can refer to. First case, and in your case in particular, as you know, it's very important to get accurately diagnosed because you can go years without an accurate diagnosis and be frustrated and be thrown around from doctor to doctor and not get the answers. And that ends up hindering your care, of course. So we always want to refer to medical doctors who specialize in Parkinson's, and I have having connections with those is always key. So I have a few connections with those, and you can speak more to this, but once you get formally diagnosed, then we're able to get you into the proper treatment services. So for physical therapy, there's a program that we can specialize in called LSVT-BIG that I think you're familiar with, and then there's also other devices we can use, such as the Next Stride that you've been using as well, to progress your plan of care and prevent the decline of Parkinson's disease. But ultimately, the diagnosis is key in the beginning, and then we can refer you as a physical therapist. I can refer you to an occupational therapist if you need that for the fine motor tasks I was speaking to, the eating, the dressing, those important tasks that are daily activities that sometimes get overlooked. And then I can do the balancing, the gross motor functions, how you're walking, carefully transferring. So having that network of providers is really key for that.
Here's a question I'm sure you get asked right at the beginning. Will insurance or VA or pay for your services?
Yeah, of course they will. So I'm in network with Medicare and all other insurances I'm out of network with. And that's a choice I chose to make because, frankly, I've seen the quality of healthcare decline over the years, especially with people that take all insurances, because unfortunately it's a numbers game, and those who take all insurances, you just have to see a lot more clients to stay profitable, so the quality of care goes down. So by me not taking insurance directly, which I still give my paid clients what's called a super bill for those who are out of network, and they can get reimbursed depending on their specific plan. But by not being in network with most insurances, I'm able to give that one-on-one quality care and ask the questions, spend the time with the patients, and figure out exactly what's causing their issue. And they end up getting better quicker, and they end up usually spending less money in the long run because I'm transparent about my pricing. You don't get a bill months down the road for something you thought your insurance would cover. But I understand, you know, at the end of the day, it's also a money game. So some people need that extra help, and that's why I do provide the super bills for out-of-network billing to see what they can get reimbursed. And I am in network with Medicare.
How is your physical therapy expertise going to help me being the public?
Two parts. I can personally attest to the power of physical therapy because part of my backstory I always like to share with people and how I got into this is I actually had a stroke myself when I was 8 months old that affected the left side of my body, and I had to learn how to relearn how to walk and talk and use my left side over again. So I had a network of physical therapists, occupational therapists, and I had surgeries as well. But after each one of those surgeries, I did have the rehab to get me back and help me meet my goals that I needed and that I wanted to achieve. And I never could have done that without those therapists. So for me, it's a big educational piece that great physical therapists are out there, you know, and you just have to be able to find them and go to the proper network providers like your doctor that can hopefully refer you to people. And for me, I just get out in the community and try to educate people on, you know, when you may need a physical therapist, like for in your case, for Parkinson's, you know, it's a big movement disorder issue. So if you're having those movement problems, talk to your friends, talk to your medical providers, and they will refer you to physical therapy. We also do things such as getting out in like workshops and tennis tournaments and just stuff in your community that you'll find when you get those aches and pains. And, you know, you have that pain that you really shouldn't be living with long term, that we're able to address that and prevent that injury from coming back. So for me personally, physical therapy has been huge in my life, and I want to just give back to the profession and prove to people that you can get back to doing the activities that you love and you don't need to keep living with these injuries. And physical therapy can be a huge role in that, in getting your life back.
Do you think it's important to get different opinions on the public's particular issue?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And, you know, me particularly, if somebody comes to me as a potential patient, as a potential client, I'll always talk with them on the phone. I'm very open about, you know, you don't have to pay me up front. I just want to have a conversation with you and see if we're a good fit, because there's a lot of questions regarding what the diagnosis is and what your specific situation is. And if I'm not the right fit for you, then I need to refer you to somebody else. And I always tell them, you know, this is no obligation. We're just having a conversation. By all means, seek out other opinions and see what's right for you. But that is the key to open access to healthcare. It's not just one provider that you have to go see. It's finding what's right for your specific situation and your diagnosis. So yes, there's always multiple people that they can see.
Is there an average amount of time somebody must come to you to get results?
Typically, I'm specialized actually in orthopedics. I have my orthopedic specialty. And for most orthopedic injuries, you know, your low back strains, your shoulder strains, they take about 6 to 8 visits, which ends up being about 6 to 8 weeks, sometimes 10 weeks, before they're about 95% better. And in cases such as yours with Parkinson's, it's going to be a little bit more long term, of course. That's going to be something where I may have to see you or see those people, you know, once a week for on and off for who knows how long. You know, it just depends on your specific diagnosis and, you know, what we plan a maintenance program, you know, where I teach you everything in the beginning and we're doing your exercises. And then once you've met those concrete goals that we've established, then we can go down to maybe once a month, once every, you know, few weeks, depending on what you need, and then constantly reevaluate where your goals are. So that's the nice thing about physical therapy. And that's some of the hindrances for insurances. Sometimes they won't pay for longer term care, and that's where we can always do out of pocket insurance. And because I believe number one goal should always be getting you healthy, you know, and we can always work out what that price would be. But prevent it up front, then you're not going to have that monetary barrier down the road. But yeah, that's the great thing. It's a continuum of care, right? So we can always tailor it to your needs at any one time.
Do you see many athletic injuries?
I do. Yeah. So I actually, you know, as I mentioned, I have my orthopedic specialty. So, and I work out of a gym. So the cool thing is people can come to me and I have access to all the gym equipment. And then I actually, through my mobile services, I can come to them as well if they need that service. But orthopedic injuries are, I'm an athletic guy myself, so there's near and dear to my heart. You know, I love treating the power lifters, the tennis players, the golfers, weekend warriors, as I call them. That's a big part of my business, and their goals are just as important as well.
What can I expect to see from you or someone like you from physical therapy? I go in and I meet you on Monday. What can I expect?
Mm-hmm. You can expect first a full evaluation. It's a big pet peeve of mine when somebody comes in to meet their provider and they just do treatment right away without asking many questions or doing their due diligence of a full exam. And when I say full exam, that doesn't mean you necessarily need imaging. That's actually a common misconception. Not to get on my soapbox here, but the vast majority of people don't actually need x-ray or MRI. That's just a waste of cost, a waste of time and resource for the person. So what I mean by full evaluation is I sit down with you. Sometimes I may not even, you know, put my hands on you for the first 45 minutes, and I'm just asking your specific questions about your specific condition. And I have certain objective measures that I'll do, and I'll take you through a movement screen to look for any abnormal movement patterns. Because if I identify what the cause of that is, then we can treat it appropriately and get you back to where that injury won't happen again. But in my first session, it's full evaluation and then some treatment at the end. And then you can also expect a full home exercise program. So with me, it's not a quick fix. It's going to take some work. But in order to get the appropriate outcomes, you're going to have to treat it. It's going to take about 6 to 8 weeks for most soft tissue injuries, for example. And that comes along with, like I said, a home exercise program where I send you all the exercises and you have full access to me if we need to adjust anything in the meantime, in between sessions. But it's always a constant reevaluation process of tweaking your home exercise program, doing a movement screen every time you come in, and seeing how your progression of your goals is going.
What is a soft tissue issue?
That would be something like a muscle strain. So say, for instance, in talking about the orthopedic condition that I mentioned, the gym athletes, you're lifting weights and you're doing bicep curls and you hurt your arm. You know, you feel a slight pull in your muscle in the arm. That's a soft tissue injury, anything muscle related. So those tend to take about 6 to 8 weeks to heal. And that's where it's important to get evaluated by somebody such as me to ease back into it, not to jump back into your exercises, but make sure it's not a full tear or make sure there's not anything worse going on. And that's where I can evaluate you and decide if you need to go see a medical doctor and have imaging, or if it'll just heal on its own without any other meds or any other medical intervention.
How long is your typical visit with a patient?
I do an hour at least per session. So it's one-on-one with me for the full hour every session. And that tends to be a little bit more during the evaluation. It could be up to 90 minutes for an evaluation and treatment, but then every follow-up session is always an hour.
What level of discomfort or pain can I expect during a physical therapy session with you?
Great question. I like it. So despite common belief, we are not physical torturers, as people like to say.
Right.
So what I like to say is it's not the no pain, no gain mentality. You know, that's an old adage that's way too ingrained in some people, especially in the gym population. They just think, if I push through it, then it's going to go away, you know, and that in vast majority of cases, that ends up making it worse. I tend to say it should be a tolerable discomfort. Like when you're stretching, you feel a hamstring stretch, that's a tolerable discomfort. Or when you go to get a massage and you have that hurts so good kind of pain, that's where your body's tolerating it, but it's not doing enough harm where it's going to tense up and do more damage. You know, there's a subjective scale that I always like to tell people about, the numerical pain scale. It's a 0 to 10 scale, 10 being the worst pain, 0 being no pain. Based on your specific pain experience, because everybody's pain experience is different, that pain level should never go above about a 5 out of 10 when you're doing any exercises that I give you or any activities. And that's a general good rule of thumb that can fit each person's pain experience.
How do you track a patient's progress?
So I generally have a few tests and measures that I use that I do. Part of the evaluation process is doing some exams like that, some objective measures. Like for you, I've used the timed up and go test, the 5-time sit to stand test, and balance test to measure how strong you are, what your muscular endurance has, and what your stability is. And that way, when we get that up front, and there's so many tests, it varies for different people, of course, but when we get that day one, we can track it every, you know, usually I reevaluate them every 4 weeks or so, and we can track your progress and see where we may need to change our focus at. But yes, it does vary depending on the condition, but those objective measures are key, of course, towards seeing progress to your goals.
How do you motivate a patient who refuses to cooperate?
And so that's the age-old question, right? Is you know, what works for them and why are they coming to see me? So that's the biggest thing I always like to ask them up front. And something that we've talked about, too, is why do you want physical therapy, you know, in the first place? Because if they're not motivated to change, then frankly, there's not much I can do to get them to change. But, you know, one of my greatest, my most favorite client stories I like to share is in the way of motivation is I had somebody come to me and he was about to expect his first child and he was having all kinds of heel pain and back pain. And, you know, he wanted to not just get rid of the pain, but he wanted to get rid of the pain because he wanted to be there for his child. He wanted to run and play with his kid and be the greatest dad he could be. And once they have that why, that it's a no-brainer that they're going to get rid of that pain and get back to normal, because the pain is just inhibiting them from what they want to do, you know, and what their livelihood is. So it's all about getting down to the deeper layers of why they're coming to see me. You know, pain is ultimately, people can deal with pain until it affects their livelihood, you know, and usually that's something to do with their family. And, you know, so it's about asking them those questions and figuring out the deeper motivation for it, to your point. And that's where I'm more than happy to work with them towards those goals and set a plan to achieve them. And I just love that. That's the best part of my job. I love doing that.
Tell us about one of your most challenging cases and what did you do?
I'd say one of my most challenging ones is one, the people, like you said, that think they want to get better, but they're not willing to put in the work and they think it's not going to take very long. The one I'm thinking of is somebody who had a history of low back pain in particular. And she had it for years, chronic low back pain. You know, she had surgeries before, so very more complicated case. But she was also expecting the outcomes very quickly in a matter of a few visits. And it's just not realistic. So I had to sit her down and try to get through to her. And this was over multiple visits about managing expectations for her specific scenario. And I had to show her that we are getting better. You know, your pain is still there, of course, because you're in chronic pain. So it's going to take a long time. You know, that makes sense. But you're able to do more function-wise with the same amount of pain. So that still is progress. But for people who are so focused on their pain, it tends to be a harder situation. So I like to reorient the conversation. And this is where I go deeper into pain science about what that means and what people's perception of pain is, about that basically you're going to have pain, but what does that mean to you and how does that affect your function? Because if you can still function and do your goals, do what you want to do with the same amount of pain, like I said, that's still progress. So it's a lot of education and a lot of just talking to people. And, you know, if they need more care than I can give on that front, then I'm always willing to refer out to a mental health therapist if they need more care than just that, because pain is very multifaceted. We know it's not only physical, but it's emotional and mental as well. So I always love to have those conversations up front and say, I can help you with the physical aspect, but you may need more help. And that's where it's a really holistic plan of care, and it takes a lot of providers to get people to meet their long-term goals. And that's actually a big interest of mine, is people with chronic pain, and that's where having that network of providers is really key towards, like I said, their long-term health and getting them back to what they want to do. But those are some of the more challenging cases.
Since we know that medicine is a team effort, how do you handle disagreements with other PTs, other nurses, and other doctors?
Always tough, right? Because in the healthcare field, there's a lot of different ways of going about medicine. You know, there's always new research coming out, and you know, there's issues with insurance, of course. But I think at the base of it, we have to have, it starts with having the person in mind, right? It's not about the money. We have to have the person's care best interest in mind. And if you face it, and if you come to that agreement up front, and you're all just trying to work towards their best interest, then you can find common ground. You know, you have to swallow your pride. Humility is a big thing. You know, it's not always, I have the best intervention. You know, this is better than your idea. I'm better than you. You know, it's more of an abundance mindset for me. And it's, hey, I just care about getting this person better. If you have this idea that might work better, sure, go for it. You know, it's a very, very just teamwork effort, you know, for lack of a better word. But, you know, in some respects, sometimes people may not be willing to work together, you know, and that's going to happen. And that's fine. It's just where they're at. But for me, I'm looking to get the best result for the patient, for the person. And if that means referring them out to somebody else, that's fine. But it also starts with setting expectations and just willing to have those conversations about what's best for the person, regardless of, you know, what your degree is or what intervention you may have. You know, not all interventions are right for every single person. So, yeah, I think the best thing is just...
In your field, are you licensed and you have to fulfill certain yearly expectations or training or whatever have you?
We do, yeah. So for the Doctor of Physical Therapy, it's that 3-year graduate degree. And then we have to pass our national boards. And then every 2 years, we have to get 30 hours of continuing education units. So it's a rigorous process, but having that continuing education makes sure that we stay up to date on the latest research and what's going on in the field of physical therapy.
How do you set expectations for family members, caregivers? How do you keep them engaged throughout the other person's recovery?
You know, that's key on a couple different fronts, because one, a lot of times they're too engaged, in the sense that, one, they may be overbearing, you know, trying to do too much for the person, because in a lot of times, if the person's going to get 100% better, they have to do a lot of the work on their own. You know, say, for instance, to give a specific example, someone who's bedbound, if they're constantly moving them, you know, doing everything for them, getting them dressed, getting them up out of the bed, you know, that person's not healing their body. They're not getting stronger. So they're not going to, you know, of course, get better. So sometimes that's a conversation of saying, hey, I know you're just trying to help, but some of that may be hurting, maybe hindering their progress. You have to let them do some of this, and I'll give them specific goals, and I'll teach them how to safely, you know, monitor them and safely make sure they're moving correctly, but not overstepping that line. And then on the second side of it is teaching them the exercises to support the patient. And it's making sure they have the proper knowledge of what's going on with their diagnosis, you know, what's a reasonable amount of pain, like we talked about, and what they should be looking for with specific exercises. So that's a very big conversation with caregivers. And the other thing of it is caregiver burden. So sometimes they're doing way too much work to support the person in terms of just being there 24/7 and being on call. So that's when I try to provide them with techs that could come out to their house and just help them with some of the tasks that they have to take on. A lot of times it's a husband or wife, you know, so obviously there's one less person to help out in the household. So I have resources where I can provide them with, connect them with techs that will come out to the household, and just other people that I'll help out with daily house chores. So it's a big issue, but it's one that starts with talking to people like me and getting the connected to the resources in town to help them out with all those tasks.
Quick, how can my listeners get in touch with you? What's your email, phone, address, any way that they would like to talk to you or you would like to talk to them?
Yeah, so my business is, I'm the owner of Results Rehab Concierge Physical Therapy. So www.resultsrehab.org is my website. And then you can email me at drconnollypt@resultsrehab.org, Dr. James Connolly.
Thanks for listening to Our Town Live. And don't forget to subscribe and give us a review.